And of course, it's the program that just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. The number one rated late night talk show in North America, thanks to you. And let's come back and take your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, here we go. Back with you on Coast to Coast AM. And let's go to the calls. Let's go to Piedmont, Alabama. Jacob's with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Jacob, thanks for holding so long.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure. What's
up? I was calling about, in reference to the caller that called earlier from, I think, Kansas City, about the stars in the sky.
Yeah?
Yeah. I've been witnessing it for about a week at work. I'll come in at break, and I'll see two stars in the sky. And then when I come in at lunch, they'll be in totally different positions, and sometimes one of them will even be gone.
Now, sometimes, you know, stars will move because of the Earth. They look like they're moving, but these that you look at, I mean, do they move across the sky while you're looking at it?
No, like I've never seen them move personally, but like when I go in back to work and then I'll come out at break again, one of them will sometimes not even be in the sky no more, and then there's always two of them. Like,
yeah, that's weird.
Real close together.
I think what you're looking at, they might be planets.
Yes, I pulled out my Google Sky map, and it didn't even see any no stars either.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they might be planets, but I'll pay attention to that. Lately, it's been kind of neat to look at the skies. So they're crystal clear these days. Let's go next to Portland, Oregon. Sean's with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Sean, welcome to the program.
Hey, George, huge fan.
Good, thank you.
I had a short story to tell you, and I wanted to see if you had heard anything about this
okay.
before. When I was younger, like 6-7 years ago or so, I was seeing these shadow people, three shadow people all the time, and they always freaked me out. Eventually, it got to the point that my buddy took me to go see a local psychic, healer, things like that. And the guy, after I explained my story, the guy told me that what I was seeing was the three horsemen. And the creepiest thing about it is that he gave me this small crystal, and he put it on a little bracelet, and he said, you know, wear it on your wrist. And once it gets red hot, tear it off your wrist and throw it away. Because that's when they were trapped inside or when they wouldn't be able to come back to me. Well, then he ushered me out of the house rather quickly because he said that they were deep evil and he just had a child. And when we walked outside, the stone fell off. And we were just walking down the street and the stone fell off. And I felt it fell off. And then we looked around. We couldn't find the stone anywhere. We found the bracelet. But we couldn't find the stone anywhere, so it literally disappeared. Have you heard anything about the three horsemen?
I've heard about the four horsemen.
Yeah, so have I.
You know, part of the apocalypse. And, mm-hmm. you know, if you believe in prophecy, then we're getting pretty darn close to the apocalypse, if we're not in it already.
Yeah, true.
So maybe that's what you were, you know, that's what was going on with you.
It could be. I guess it had something to do with children a long time ago. They were killed in a village, and they would come back every once in a while and steal children from the village.
Ooh,
that's why he wanted me out of the house.
That's freaky.
Newborn. Yeah, it was pretty creepy.
It is. Okay, hey, Sean, thanks. Let's go to Jonathan in Bakersfield, California, west of the Rockies. Hey, hello, Jonathan. Thank you.
George, how you doing?
Good.
Listen, our prayers in Jesus' name for your grandson, Simon.
Thank you.
Amen. Listen, three scriptures, Acts 2:38. Acts 4:12, Deuteronomy 18:9 14, and I got a federal haunted Indian reservation story zealously. And I have an update on the smart meters. Really quick, up north in California, there's this federal reservation for Indians, and they, like poltergeists, they moved the headstones, and they built on it, but they didn't move the bodies.
Ooh.
Well, guess what? I was writing a movie. I had just before starting X-Files 3, hopefully for Chris Carter to do, and security would come in and say, Jonathan, you got to pray for us because you won't believe it. There's these, like remember Star Wars? There's like these Jawa creatures or phantasms, like those little gnomes with the black hood,
black
faces, but they had red eyes and their feet never touched the ground. They're in the surrounding swamp of this place.
Jeez. And like the movie Ghost when they'd come up and take
them. It was scaring everybody. And then, this is really scary, and I got a topper after that. These guys were in the security car just about to start their shift and get out and look around, and they felt the car jiggling. Now, it had just rained, so there was a dew all over the back of the car. And with their own eyes, as they got out of the car, They saw H-O-M-E-O-U-R-S spelled out in the dew. With nobody there. Okay, it gets better. Then, after all this is behind us under a full moon, I felt the Lord speak to my heart. The very same Jesus Christ, whose name I was baptized in and Holy Ghost filled, he said, somebody wants to thank you. Look behind you. And behind me, in one of the unfinished houses, there was still just, you know how they have all the boards up and the basic foundation?
Yeah.
With an Indian chief with a full headdress, skeletonized, he raised his hand as if to say, you know, it's a house sign, as if to say thank you, because I was witnessing to his people, his descendants, of course, or ascendants, however you put it, those that would follow him after his death, that were in his lineage, about Acts 2:38. And it was, I saw this with my own eyes. I mean, he's like 5 foot tall, skeletonized, full head, Indian headdress, a chief. And that was so fascinating. And another thing is, a guy had died just before they completed his house, and the mother moved in, and she says that he still wanders around the house, even to this day, looking, calling out for his mother from the swamp.
Oh, that's a great story.
Okay, here's an update on that smart meter. God bless you, George, because I went to every family I could where I live in Bakersfield with children, and I called the local news. I found out from PG&E what they're doing is they're going to go from digital, not back to dial, which is obsolete, but to another form of digital if you request a change. Now, the thing is, as you know, if you didn't ask for it, it doesn't matter. They put you to digital.
That's right.
It's $400 in your bill. But if you want to get out of it, they charge you $50 to $75 unless you qualify on the care plan. And then you got to pay $10 a month for the rest of your life as long as you live there for having it switched to the lesser digital. But if you're on medical health plan, it's only $10 switchover fee and $5 a month. And I talked to a PG&E employee, and he says, hey, I got one too. So I was even warning him about it. Now, when their own employees are thinking about getting rid of it, what does that tell you?
Exactly.
So remember, Acts 2:38, Acts 4:12, and Deuteronomy 18, 9 through 14. And please anoint your head with oil and your wife and children, your grandchildren, everybody, in Jesus' name, because the anointing breaks the yoke. We love you very much. And one more thing, a compliment. George, I love how you steer people, even if they're agnostic, atheist, whatever. You always try to steer them back to God and to consider him in all their searches. That's a beautiful thing you do.
I try. I try. Thanks, Jonathan. Appreciate it. Let's go next. Truck driving in Illinois. Don is with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Don. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, George.
Sure,
thanks
thing.
For taking my call. What an honor it is to talk to you.
Glad you got through.
Yeah, me too. This is actually the first time I tried calling. I got a quick question about the Mayan calendar versus leap year. My wife sent me a text the other day that says that, and no, I'm not sure on the accuracy of this, but that Julius Caesar created leap year in like 45 BC, and that the Mayan calendar would not account for those extra days that we've added. So that in reality, the Mayan calendar ended like 6 months ago.
Yeah, I've heard that, that it's already come and gone.
Yeah, I mean, I was wondering what your take was on that.
I think the date, December 21st, 2012, is based on a progression of days. So it factors in all the leap years because they're just counting the days out. And yes, you're absolutely right. The Mayans had no idea about the leap day at all. All they knew about the solstice. That was it. To them, that was the moment of time. And but I have heard that, and it's going around the internet, that because of the various leap year days that we have every 4 years, that they never factored that in, and that the Mayan calendar date has already come and gone. But I'm told that those days, that December 21st, 2012 date, whether it's accurate or not, was based on a certain amount of days that they counted out. So next up, let's go to Rockford, Illinois. Art's with us, east of the Rockies. Hey, Art, welcome to the program.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Okay,
first-time caller.
Good.
Hey, up in Bolivia, Tiwanaku, Pumapunku.
Sounds like an ancient alien show.
Well, yeah, I've seen that a few seasons ago. But my question is, has anybody ever dated the Pumapunku site? Was there anything to date?
You know, they may have dated it. I don't know what the date is. You can't carbon date rock.
Right, you can't carbon date rock, and they've dated Tiwanaku to about 17,000. And I'm convinced they're two entirely different sites, that they're not related at all. And Pumapunku is much, much older. So what I'm thinking is, the way that the stones were dressed and interlocked, we're pretty much talking about 40, 50, 60-ton Legos.
Yeah, huge.
And they're granite. So wouldn't we be able to date it by finding a seam of two rocks still together and measuring the erosion on the seam?
Well, like they look at the Sphinx and, you know, and they look at the erosion there, and a lot of people now are theorizing that the Sphinx, for example, in Egypt is much older than they think. That's possible.
Right.
That's a good possibility.
Yeah, well, I was just wondering, because there's got they geologists have to have a steady rate of erosion for granite. And if you know the two stones were conjoined, you should be able to come up with a ballpark estimate.
That's interesting. Maybe.
It's just a thought I had.
Okay, I got to ask a geologist that one day. How do you date something like that? Fascinating. Let's go to Redding, California. Rusty is with us. Hey, Rusty, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I got a story and then a short question.
Okay.
The story is my wife, it was, you know, late at night, you know, summertime, and I was at the trailer. She was outside watering, you know, and she come rushing in the house, and she goes, it's after me. I go, what's after you? And I come to the door, you know, and there's an orb, you know, outside, you know, up there. And this thing was like pacing her. When she would move, it would move, you know. And then she's, you know.
I spy.
And this time, you know, it's got my attention pretty good. So I come out of the trailer, and she goes to the far side of our property, you know. And this thing is just staying right with her, pacing her, you know, in the air. So in my pickup and stuff, it just so happens I was target practicing that day, and I had my rifle. So I yanked my rifle out and leaned over the top of the pickup and got a steady, you know, sight on it with my scope. And I'm looking at it, and my wife goes, what is it? I go, you're not going to believe it, you know, because when looking at the orb, you know, before I looked at it through the scope, what it kind of represented or looked like, you know, headlights in a fog.
Yeah.
One, it was kind of fuzzy. But when I looked through it through the scope, then the detail come in. And it, you know, was kind of cigar shaped, and around the middle was, you know, like different colored lights around the middle. Anyway, when I'm looking at this thing, it was over there by my wife, it backed up, you know, like all of a sudden backed up along a ways, and then it come over in front of me, and then all of a sudden it just boom, took off, gone.
If somebody's running that thing.
Yeah, you know, but what it was, it looked like it knew that I was looking at it.
Of course.
You know, yeah. And then I don't think I scared it, of course, but I mean, it didn't want nothing to do with me looking at it.
No,
know?
It probably said, you know what, enough is enough. He may have a camera.
Yeah. Whoosh. Yeah, but I didn't, you know, but when it was gone, my wife said, you know, like she goes, like the light went out, you know, she thought it was so instantaneous. She thought it went out.
Yeah.
But when I was looking at it, it went away. It just went so fast. I could see it
like
away.
The blink of an eye.
Right.
Amazing. And you had a question?
One question. Have you heard anything about a scientist exactly duplicating a crystal skull?
There are a lot of people out there that have tried to duplicate crystal skulls. There's a lot of frauds out there, and there's some real ones as well. But in terms of a scientist, no, but it wouldn't surprise me at all. Let's go next to Delbert in Texas, truck driving. Hello, Delbert. Welcome to the program.
How's it going?
Good, Delbert. Thank you.
Yeah, I had a weird story. I was driving a truck. My truck broke down. So last week I had to take another truck. Well, a driver had a heart attack and died in it.
Oh.
53 years old, six
Poor
weeks
guy.
Before.
Sad story there.
And we went to his funeral and everything. But I was driving along and out. I run West Texas a lot. And I was driving along in the middle of the night, and I saw something out of the corner of my eye. I turned around, and he was sitting in the passenger seat beside me.
Oh, he hasn't left, has he?
And disappeared that quick.
Oh. Was he looking at you, or just like straight ahead?
Just straight ahead.
Unbelievable. Like he was still driving the thing.
It's not the first time that happened. Right after my dad passed away, he was a truck driver for 40 years. And I was up in Utah going over the mountain in the middle of a blizzard up there over Soldier Mountain last year. And all of a sudden, I hit the top of the hill, and I was fixing the head down, and he goes, and I just heard, "Now make sure you drop your gears and slow way down." He was sitting right beside me, my dad was.
Helping you make that move.
Yep. You know, you just...
That's a great story. Delbert, thanks for that. Time for maybe one more before the break. Let's go to Dorothy in Portland, Oregon. Hello, Dorothy.
Oh, this is so exciting. I can't believe I got through.
Yes, you did.
About 15 years ago, my husband and I were trying to catch a light rail train to come home after a performance that we had attended at a venue downtown.
Okay.
And lots of train tracks were going different directions, and the tracks were about 18 to 20 inches below the platform that they were walking on. And I was walking a few steps behind my husband, and he didn't know this, but I stepped off the platform, but I didn't fall down onto the tracks. What happened was I floated.
You floated down?
I just floated down. And then I got back up, and I got back up on top of the platform again, and I thought to myself, did that really happen? I couldn't believe it happened.
But then
two people came toward me from a distance. They came toward me, and they said, "How did you do that?" And then I knew that what I thought happened did happen.
Somebody floated you down. You should have been hamburger, Dorothy.
I know it. And I said, "How did I do what?" And they said, "You just floated off the platform."
That's amazing.
Isn't that funny?
So how did...
I don't know how I did it.
Yeah, how did you do it? Do you think somebody held you,
definitely.
An invisible angel?
My guardian angel.
Caught you? Yeah.
My guardian angel just floated me down off the platform and onto the tracks, and then I was able to get back up.
That's a great story.
I know.
I love it. Hey, thanks. Let's go to John in Belton, Missouri, east of the Rockies. Go ahead, John.
Hello.
Hi.
Now, I guess I had a little info for you.
All right, what do you got?
I was watching on that Ancient Aliens on H2 tonight and seen Buzz and some of them guys on there, and they're opening up a little bit. So I'm getting of age now. So I'd just like to say, I used to work at the Johnson Space Center.
All right, I bet you have stories.
But at any rate, most of these shows I watch, Cal was saying that a lot of that stuff from Roswell went to Whitman Air Force Base in Texas, and that's not really quite true.
Did it go to Wright-Patterson for sure?
Eventually, some of it did to Wright-Pat, but actually, you never hear anyone say it, but most of that stuff went past Whitman, and eventually found its way to Ellington Air Force Base in Texas.
Ah.
And they closed up Ellington Air Force Base later on, and of course that's at the right side of where the Johnson Space Center is there, Clear Lake.
Okay.
And they took the stuff there, and they put about 5 AWACS there on the end of the field and said that's what they were keeping base for. But actually it was in conjunction working with NASA there. And
what do you think they had there, John?
Well, I know... They had some pretty interesting stuff.
Do you think they had some bodies, alien bodies?
I think they had some relics later on, especially. Actually, there was people placed in security that had to guard certain things. But anyway, I just thought I'd clue you in where, you know, people might kind of look.
All right,
have a new path to look and see where things really went.
That's a good idea. That is a good idea. We're going to come back in just a moment. Final open lines on Coast to Coast AM, and we'll take a text message. We'll be back. On our Saturday show, John B. Wells will be talking about how national sovereignty may be eroded away, because you know that. And then on our Sunday show, Ian Punnett, back from the other side, joins us talking about monsters in America on Coast to Coast AM. And we'll be back with final phone calls, so don't touch your dial. Just a little reminder, daylight saving time right around the corner, so Saturday night before you go to bed, make sure you turn your clocks ahead 1 hour, or you will wake up Sunday and you will all be confused. So take care of that. And, of course, with your cell phones, all you got to do is, I think you have to shut it off, and then it cycles to the new time when you turn it back on. I'm not sure. Well, maybe it does. Maybe some cell phones will change the time while the phone is still on. I'm not sure. I don't remember anymore. But anyways, daylight saving time, here we go. Let's go to the phones, final phone calls. But first, Tommy has a text message for us. Hey, Tom, what do you got?
George, Carrie in Austin says, George, I try to be open-minded, but I was wondering, do you believe that crop circles were made by aliens? It's so hard for me to grasp that idea.
As I told Linda Moulton Howe once a long, long time ago, if you have 100 crop formations and just one is unexplainable, that's all you need.
It's amazing. Yep. It's amazing.
And that's the answer.
Excellent.
See ya. Next up, first-time caller, Terry in Ray County, Tennessee. Hi, Ray. Hi, Terry.
Hey, George. How's it going,
okay,
man?
Okay, Terry. Good.
I was just calling to update you a little bit. They say the economy is getting better and everything. I'm sitting out here. They're holding a free medical and dental clinic at the high school. We've got National Guard out here, everything else. There's over 1,000 people showed up for this thing.
Already?
It was at the gates were supposed to open at midnight to get your number. I got here at 10:30 and 249.
Gosh. And this is all free for everybody?
Yes, it's for the people here in this county and that.
We've got
people from Georgia, from Arkansas, everything out here that came out in RVs.
Oh, my God. How many dentists do they have working there?
I have no idea. The doors don't even open till 6 o'clock in the morning, but you had to be here by midnight to get a number.
And what will they do for you once you have your appointment?
I'm not really sure as far as medical, but they do tooth extractions, cleanings, everything.
All for free?
All for free. It's all volunteer stuff.
Now, who pays for that? The people in Tennessee?
As far as I know, it's all volunteer medical professionals and that they're volunteering their time, their services, everything.
And the materials, I guess.
Yeah.
That is amazing. That, you know what? That's great. It's good to hear
that. It is. It's really amazing, especially for people like me. You know, my job went to Mexico and I'm trying to take care of 4 kids.
Oh, my gosh. So do you have your kids with you in line there now, Terry?
No, I do not.
Just
luckily,
you.
They get medical through the state, so we ain't got to worry about it. But because I'm an adult male, I can't get any help, so I'm sitting here all night trying to get my stuff taken care of.
So what time do you think that they open the doors at? What time again? 6?
It's 6 a.m.
Okay, and what time do you think they'll finally get to you?
There's no telling.
And you're not leaving. You're going to go through and wait it out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what else can I do if I need stuff done, you know, and I ain't got the money?
You got to do what you got to do.
Exactly. But like I said, there's thousands of other people sitting out here waiting, too. I mean, I'm not the only one going through this.
So you're out there, you're listening to Coast and just taking it easy.
Yes, sir.
That's the way to do it. Well, tell everybody in line hi for me if you go out there.
All right. You guys take care.
All right. Hey, that's a remarkable program. I did not know that they did things like that. You know, the economy's getting good for some people, but it's not getting good for a lot of others, and that's the difference. This gap gets wider and wider and wider. Those people who are working, those of us who are lucky enough to be working, you know you're in pretty good shape. But those people who aren't working, or things are tight, or they're getting laid off, or they're getting hours reduced, it's not good. Not yet. We need to get that to a point where it used to be, where most people are working, and then things really start to cook again. Let's go to Mike in Hancock, Wisconsin, on the Outrageous Line. Welcome to the program. Hey, Mike, thanks for calling.
Hey, George, Semper Fi, buddy. I haven't talked to you for a while.
Me too. Thank you.
First thing, I got to ask you 3 things real quick.
All right.
That bumper tune, Somewhere Over the Rainbow, I need to know who does that. When is Miriam Delicato coming out?
Well, she's not scheduled. The bumper song is done by Brother Iz, I-Z. He's really got a long name, but he's dead now, but you can still find it.
Okay. And the other thing was, I heard you do I Can't Help Falling in Love with You by Elvis. I karaoke that one all the time myself. We ought to do a duet.
Well, that's a great song, isn't it?
I know. I love that song.
It's an easy one, too.
Yep. But anyway, here's what happened. Last Friday, I live on Indian Mounds, around Mounds, Whistler Mounds in Hancock, and I live right next door to Chief Police. You know, everybody's going to listen. We listen to your program all the time.
Okay.
I have three pictures of Jesus Christ in my living room. Two I bought in an estate sale. One was a birthday card I gave to my son, and he made a picture out of it for me. And I have one picture hanging up above by my TV, and the two are in my chair where I sit. Well, I happened to sit down, and I was going to watch a movie, and I looked up, and the picture of Jesus, the drawing, wasn't up there up above the TV. So I went and looked behind the table. Well, no picture. So then I happened to turn around where I sit in my chair, and the other two pictures of Jesus are gone.
And so you're saying, all right, who took them?
I don't know. I came home. George, I just ran to town to get cigarettes. I came back home. The door was open. I always lock my door. And the chief I've known for 35 years, and there's nobody around here. No, there was no tire marks because it just snowed. No wet footprints from the snow inside the house. And these pictures are gone, and I'm beside myself. I tore this place apart. I went outside. I even looked up on the roof.
Why would they be gone?
I don't know, George.
That's weird.
I'm telling everybody. Everybody's just freaking out.
Is there a message coming up or something going on?
I don't know. I'm trying to get back again, back, with the Lord and stuff. But I don't know if it's something that nobody wants me to do or somebody's telling me not worthy. Or
You don't think anybody's pulling your leg, do you?
I don't know. I talked to the chief yesterday at the post office. He said maybe somebody's messing with you. I don't know, but
who else would be? This is in your place, right, where you live.
Yeah.
Who would go in there?
And all they took, they didn't take any of my jewelry, nothing. All that was missing was those three pictures of Jesus Christ.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Now you're going to make me wonder all weekend what's going on.
I know. It's got everybody wondering.
All right. Good. Thanks.
Well, you take care, George. You're sounding better, too.
All right, Mike. Let's go to Tucson. Bing's with us, west of the Rockies. Hey, Bing.
Hey.
Good. Great name. I love it. Bing, just like Crosby.
Correct.
You there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're breaking up. Let's see if we get a better line. Here, Tommy, let me talk to Tom on the squawk. See if you can call him back. Get a better line for him, okay, Bing? All right. All right, thanks. See, that's my high-tech communication system. Did you just hear Tom? Tom, one more time. I'd like everyone to hear the high-tech communication system that they've installed for me. So, hello, Tom.
George, communicating with Bing back now.
That's it. My very expensive communication system with my producer. Let's go next to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. Brandon's with us on Coast to Coast. Go ahead, Brandon.
Hey, George. Good to talk to you again.
Thank you.
Hey, I have a thought here on why people shouldn't be so concerned about 2012.
How come?
Well, and I don't know. This might have been brought up on the show before, but when the Mayans, made their calendar, they didn't have leap years.
I know. That just came up. But isn't it based on the amount of days, not just the year?
I'm not really sure, but I mean, with the leap years,
see, what they did is they counted. I don't think the Mayans came up with the date, December 21st, 2012. We did by counting the days. So I still think it's probably pretty accurate. So remember now, the Mayans are only concerned about the solstice, which we know falls on December 21st, 2012. I don't think they knew that day. They just knew the solstice would occur on the days that they challenge and they head down. So I still think we're in pretty good shape there. Let's take a few more calls here. Let's go to who's next? Claymouth Falls, Oregon. Jack's turn on Coast to Coast. Hey, Jack, go ahead.
Hey, George. My name is Jack. I'm calling from Klamath Falls, Oregon. Love your show, man. My friend Kyle turned me on to you.
Good. That's awesome. A good friend, Jack. Keep him around.
He is.
Yep.
He's a great friend. What I wanted to say was a few years back when I graduated high school, I was out camping with my family. We always went out and camped in Dairy Creek. We all went up there and whatever. Well, me and my cousins, we'd always stay up late and wait for all the grown-ups to go to bed and grab some beers. Well, while we're sitting there waiting for my uncle to go to bed, he's putting the last few pieces of wood in the fire, and we're just sitting in these lawn chairs. And this craft, it couldn't have been more than 50 feet above the ground, passes right over the top of us.
And who saw it? You, your friend, the uncle?
See, that's the thing. Like, I thought it was just me. I was like, what the heck? And okay, whatever. And then my uncle goes into his tent, and my cousin turns to me. He's like, did you see that? I was like, I thought I was the only one. Like, I wasn't going to say anything because I thought, well, maybe I was going crazy or something.
What did this thing look like? I mean, could you see? I always love these stories if you could see, like, texture in it, or, you know, like rivets and things.
It's going to sound really weird, but it kind of looked like the Millennium Falcon. It kind of had like an oval, oval shape in the front, and then in the back, it kind of, like, forked. But it had these weird lights that were, they were white, but it's a weird white.
So it didn't look man-made at all, did it?
It didn't at all, and it made no sound. It passed right over the top, right over us. And my uncle didn't even see it.
Did it scare you?
Yeah, I didn't sleep that night. I was creeped out.
Did you still grab a beer?
Yeah.
Maybe a couple.
Had to.
Maybe. All right. Hey, thanks for the call. Let's take another call. Let's go to Kismet, New York. Wendy, go ahead. Hi.
Hey, good morning.
Morning to you, too.
I wanted to relay my experience regarding, a few weeks ago, Lynn Mountenhall did a show about those ambient noises, weird noises people are hearing.
Exactly.
I had an experience with that, but mine was totally different and absolutely beautiful.
Trumpet sounding?
I'm sorry, what?
Was it trumpet sounding?
No, absolutely not. And I kind of actually take a little exception to her characterizing it all as trumpet sounding, because even the things that she played, I heard just more oscillating tones. Now, what happened with me was I was in a big loft-type room, and I was alone. My boyfriend was outside, right outside the door. And the format was kind of similar to what she described.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I heard like more of a really beautiful ringing tone. You know how when you take a crystal glass, put a little bit of water in, and run your finger around, and you get that beautiful ringing tone.
That's nice ping, yeah.
Yeah, I heard this beautiful ringing tone totally surrounding me, and it lasted for like a minute, stopped for a half a minute, and then continued for like 3 minutes. And it was just absolutely beautiful. I couldn't tell where the sound was coming from. It was totally around me. I went outside. My boyfriend could hear it, too. We could hear it outside. But strangely enough, there was someone working in another loft below us, and he said he heard absolutely nothing.
Isn't that weird?
And I just... It just felt like the most beautiful.
You think like everybody would hear it, but it's like it's focused just on you.
Yeah. Well, my boyfriend heard it too, but I did hear it when I went outside.
And you know, sometimes though, when you go listen to sounds, you know the direction they're coming from. In this, it feels like it's everywhere, doesn't it?
Yeah. Exactly. Can I say something quickly about these stars?
No, I gotta run. I only got about 30 seconds left here. But thank you anyways. But the sounds, the hum, the trumpet sounds, whatever you want to call it, just continues and continues and continues. Folks, you can always send me an email if you like at george@coasttocoastam.com as well. Continue to participate and following us on Facebook and Twitter. If you're interested in being a Coast Insider, a member of the club, less than 25 cents a day, you get all that information on our website at coasttocoastam.com.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden, and I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling, Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware. But now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light. I also see a Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid. But as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. 'Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Good morning or good evening, wherever you may be. Whichever world you're living in, whatever century. Your voice is always welcome here on my radio. Call in with your space transmitter or your telephone. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light.
For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Timothy Banal, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, John B. Wells, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.